This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hey, Willa.
Hi.
Let's try that again. Hey, Willa.
Hi. Hi, people, I guess. Hi, Dad. Hi.
Hello, listeners.
Hi, anybody.
Well, I guess this is our eighth episode.
Okay,
Can you believe that?
Yes, I can believe that. I'm very smart, and I have crafted this podcast all on my own, except you do, like, 50% of the work because you edit it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, Daddy does a lot of the work, so. Thank you, Dad. But if you do want to hear some of my personality on the podcast, I'm very disappointed. I mean, I didn't expect AJR to write back, but I DM'd them because they seem like the kind of group who would look at their DMs. They did not write back, nor did they view the message, so.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Well, also, I know somebody who knows their drummer, but, you know, who knows? I'm sure they're very busy, but maybe, you know.
In Bummerland, they're very busy there.
Well, you know, people don't always listen to podcasts as soon as they come out. Maybe they'll queue it up at some point and we'll hear from them in a few weeks.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll try to get in touch with those brothers.
Hey, Adam!
Which one do you think would be the one to write back?
Ryan.
Right, because he's got all the enthusiasm behind the keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know them very well.
So let's
just introduce. I hope I didn't forget to say this in our last episode, but we're not doing one song. We are doing a lightning round of all our favorite songs from 2020. And we actually probably should have done this in the last episode or the episode before, because that was closest to the new year. But we were still preparing the songs we wanted to do. So we just did regular songs. We did regular episodes then. But today is a lightning round. Basically, one question per song. We have six songs. And one of the songs I picked, I thought came out in 2020, but apparently it came out, like, late 2019. So, I mean, I guess I kind of cheated, but, you know, I didn't have time to come up with another song to replace that one, so we're just sticking with that one. But, yeah, did I do a good job of explaining the lightning round thing?
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah. We should have done this at the beginning of 2021, but, you know. Happy late new year.
Yeah. Well, the new year is really starting now with the inauguration. Now it's going to really feel like a new year.
Yeah, I mean, January 6th just felt like 2020 all over again. But, you know, let's not go there.
So one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to our actual episode is to respond to some listener feedback. Every week we ask, well, some weeks we ask for recommendations from our audience, and my friend, business partner, longtime collaborator Jason responded after our episode with some great sister bands that we should be thinking about talking about.
Did he have any requests, questions? Or?
No, but he had some suggestions. Well, first of all, he said that we did a good job of talking about Rhesus and 100 Grand, and they should be sponsoring us.
Yeah, they really should.
Second, he mentioned the OK Go video for The One Moment, which uses a Rube Goldberg machine, which is something that we talked about in the last episode.
Just in case any of you guys are confused, on Apple Podcasts, which is where I think most people listen, there isn't like a comment section, but you can write a review. And actually, if you check out our Facebook page at Songs to Discuss, we have a ton of links to our anchor.fm site where you can actually send us a voice message. So we actually kind of know who it is, because we have a ton of, we have like a few, we're slowly but surely we're growing, very slowly but surely, but we have some reviews in our reviews box, and there are two reviews that we don't know who it's from. There's this Nooner535. Does anybody know of a Nooner, or like, what was it again? Like,
yeah, something like that.
Well,
we don't need to. The goal for a successful podcast is that we wouldn't know the people reviewing. They would just be people finding us.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah.
But before we get started, let's have a little sponsorship break.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We're back.
So I do need to mention those sister bands, okay? We're not going to leave them out.
All right.
These are from Jason. Haim, they're a current pop band. I think you'd actually like them, Willa, if you dug into their work. Heart, they're from the 70s. The Chicks, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
Do you know why they changed their name?
Because it would have been like having a Confederate flag on their albums. Just not...
Exactly. Dixie's kind of... It associates them with sort of Southern Confederate identity, which is very insensitive to their listeners.
There's also Dixie D'Amelio out there who's like a big influencer and...
Yeah, what's up with that? Jason also mentioned the Shangri-Las, the Bangles, First Aid Kit, the Pointer Sisters, and so...
I bet there's many others.
Yeah, so if anybody else wants to do... wants us to do maybe a lightning round on sister bands sometime, send us more suggestions.
Yeah.
And please share the podcast far and wide with those you think might enjoy it. We'd like to get this out to everybody.
Yeah. We want it wants to be like, definitely not a household name. That'll be in 10 years, but kind of, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 10 more years of episodes. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. You'll be 55.
You'll be going to college.
I'll be in college.
Okay.
Or wait, before we start, I was just going to let you know, Dad, we probably shouldn't do the lightning rounds too often because lightning rounds are kind of like a nice little treat. Like, okay, we get a ton of songs packed into one episode and our normal episode should probably be just the regular. But we're still not marking this as a bonus episode, just a regular one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get started. Okay. So the first one is a song that... Everyone knows we like Ariana Grande at this point. But it is Positions, and the strings are so interesting, and I'm really excited about that one. This is, like, on my Spotify Wrapped, it was, like, part of my top five songs that I streamed this year, so.
It's a great song. It was a slow-moving one for me.
You didn't like it at the beginning, but now you really, now it's like a.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, I was like, wow, that's her new single? This is not that. You know, sort of impressive, but it's kind of grown on me, and now I, especially when it comes on the radio, it's I'm grooving to it.
It's a good song because she's kind of transitioning into the R&B genre.
Yeah, should we listen to a little bit of it?
Yes, let's play an excerpt.
She's so smooth.
What do you mean? Like it's so it's like so polished.
Yeah.
She has a great voice.
Yeah.
Great voice. What I love about that track is the layering of the vocals is it's very good.
Yeah.
Like it's not just her one layer of vocal, it's many layers and
yeah, but it all fits together like perfectly like a puzzle.
Yeah. So what is the string arrangement and what why/how does it sound so elegant and graceful with the arrangement? Now, listeners, you might not have been really listening closely to the strings, but maybe Daddy has a sample of that. Also, I'm just going to add on, this question literally just popped into my head while I was listening to the excerpt. What are the string instruments? Like, I know it's string instruments, but I don't know the exact instruments, and I think it'd be kind of interesting to know.
So...
You can answer question one first. Sorry, I kind of bombarded you.
Well, it's kind of, the two questions are related. you know, obviously I don't have access to the charts.
Yeah, well.
To the scores that yeah, were but like, prepared.
Obviously, because that's behind the scenes. But yeah. I would have
to really go slowly and try to transcribe it. But I can tell you that my general impression is that she's going for like a string quartet sound.
Yeah.
Which would be, so a string quartet is two violins, viola, and cello.
Yeah, obviously I know you can't get the arrangement. I was just like, maybe if you know kind of the progression and, you know.
It sounds to me like she's going for a string quartet
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, and it's very graceful. And
yeah, and the thing is, the string quartet is sort of one of the most recognizable small group ensembles in the classical music world and new music world. It's like a very standardized format. There's lots of other combinations of instruments you can write for if you're a composer, but the string quartet has been around for a long time and there's a ton of repertoire for it. And it's also the kind of group that you can, you know, you can hire for like a private event. You know, you wouldn't hire a full orchestra, but you could hire a string quartet, you know, let's say for a wedding, for your processional.
Yeah, sorry, I just realized I wasn't making eye contact. Don't worry, I was paying attention.
Yeah. Like. So, and I think that there is a certain, I think that in popular culture, the string quartet represents sort of classiness.
Yeah, it does. This is a very classy album.
Yeah, it represents like, I don't know, being an adult, being, you know, having money, having like refined tastes. Like I remember when I was starting out in advertising, it'd be common to use like a classical arrangement for string quartet or something like that for like a luxury product,
Well, she is pretty financially successful.
Yeah, like a Mercedes and, you know, or a diamond, you know, like Zales or something like that, one of these jewelers.
Do you want to know a fun fact Lowell and I both found out, Taylor?
What'd you find out?
So do you know what Seven Rings is based on?
What?
So she went to Tiffany's & Co. with her, like, six friends, mm-hmm. with her six best friends, and while they were, like, waiting there, they gave them too much champagne, like, while they were waiting. And so then she splurged on, like, seven $12,000 matching engagement rings with her six friends.
Wow.
So that's the actual story of Seven Rings.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So that's where I think the strings come from. Now, on our very, very first episode of this podcast, we actually looked at the strings on Love Language. And when we did that, I sort of showed you how the producer probably maybe mocked it up with samples and then charted it out and sent it to players or brought players into the studio
yeah.
and recorded live. These are also definitely
yeah.
live.
You think they went, like, they're obviously not, like, in a digital or anything. They're live, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're obviously, they were in a studio, not at home, probably. I don't know.
Maybe. No, probably in a studio and at the same time, because to get a really nice sound with string players, you kind of want them in the same room.
Yeah.
So that they can hear each other's intonation, because you know strings don't have frets like guitars, so you have to actually really be listening closely to where you, you know, one millimeter off with your finger on the fingerboard and the pitch could be a little off.
Yeah, obviously I just noticed this while I've watched the music video a few times now, many times. But in the music video, in the actual song, in the music video there's like it repeats the beginning dun 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 dun.
Mhm.
Dun 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 dun. It repeats that a few times, but on the radio I'll have to check on the track, but on the radio it's dun 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 dun.
Yeah, they doubled the intro for the music video, probably to give the director of the video a little bit more time to set up the first scene. Yeah,
yeah, it's in the White House.
It's
a really interesting video.
It's like she's taking over as president in the White House. So again, classy. Like at a state dinner at the White House, you might have a string quartet.
Yeah, she had like a cabinet.
I mean, in non-COVID times, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how in the music video, there's transitions. They, like, flip when they're in the chorus, and they're, like, switching mm-hmm. them positions. And they switch with the transition in the video.
Now, let me test your knowledge.
Okay.
On Love Language, they were doing almost, like, a very disco-y kind of... like a very fast bowed thing. What's the... Do you know what the word articulation means?
Like, kind of, I think maybe. I think, like, very specific and...
Articulation is what you use in
and speaking and.
Well, okay. So when you articulate something, when you're speaking, it's how you make something very clear, right?
Yeah.
So articulation, when you're talking about musical instruments and notation, is how you play the instrument, and there's different articulations.
Timbre.
Yeah. Well, timbre is a result of articulation.
Or timbre.
Timbre. Timbre is a result.
Rob says timbre
of articulation. So if you look at a violin, for example, you can pick up the bow, you can play the bow.
You just hit my mic stand, Dad.
You can play the bow very solidly. You can play the bow very lightly. You can play the bow up near your fingers or by the bridge. But you can also pluck the strings. Do you know what that's called?
Like, yeah, kind of, because I had violin, I'm going to use your headphones. Like, if this were the strings and mm-hmm. this is the violin, it's like kind of...
Yeah.
See it? It's kind of like, I think that's what they're doing in the intro. They're like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, what's
dun,
that articulation dun, dun, called? Dun,
dun, dun. Plucking.
It's pizzicato, and that's why you get that nice, very delicate plucking sound, which gives you a sharp attack, but very little decay. Which works well with rhythmic music like this. It works well with this track because the beat is also very open. It's just like that.
It's flow.
There's as few kick drums as you could possibly program into that beat to have it keep going. It's amazing how it's done.
Yeah.
Now
this album, all the strings, there's like strings in every song.
But I wanted to demonstrate for you the sort of the way that we hear string quartets as being classy.
Okay, just so you know, though, we have five.
I know,
more songs.
No, but this is going to be fun. This is going to blow your mind. Okay. So there's a string quartet called the Vitamin String Quartet, and they do covers of popular songs. And listen to this cover that they did.
Of Positions?
No. Hold on.
Okay. So I'm guessing nobody who listens is an orientator like me or Daddy who knows the songs so well. But that was Thank You Next from this album, Thank You Next. I'm guessing you've probably heard it on the radio before. You just don't know it was called that or something. It's a pretty popular song.
What did you think of that?
It was beautiful.
How did it make you feel?
It was so graceful. It brought like a sensation to that song. That was like, it makes it feel so much more elegant, and it feels very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like this song doesn't have trap beats or anything, but it has a lot of things digitally, like,
mm-hmm.
It adds a very, I don't know, well, obviously it's not added to the song, but it made me kind of, visualize the progression of Thank You Next.
Oh, like the musical progression
next,
of it?
Next, yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of almost see all the different notes, right?
Yeah, and they really articulate, I'm using that word, they really articulate her vocals in a great way.
Yeah, it's really fun to listen to pop music covers on string quartet because it's a great way to kind of hear the different timbres that are possible with string instruments. You can hear the cello sort of holding down the bass. It sounds like the viola is taking her vocal melody for most of the time, while the violins are sort of playing more of a percussive role.
Yeah, I think now that I think about it, string instruments are like one of the closest family of instruments you can get to real vocals.
They can do a lot, and we could go down a whole rabbit hole on that.
Yeah, but. And since this album is really R&B heavy, I kind of understand why she has a lot of strings in it.
Yeah. So, that cover of Thank You Next, you wouldn't be probably pumping it out in a club, in a dance club.
Oh, no.
But it's the kind of thing where, like, if you said, I love that song, I want that to be our song that we dance to at our wedding, it might sound like that, right?
When you first introduced me to Ariana Grande, when you were listening to Thank You Next, because you liked the production.
Yes.
But did you like the production in that track specifically, and did that kind of bring a new light to it, or like what did you think of it?
Well, when you write acoustic music for acoustic ensembles like string quartets, the production is really in the writing. So, when you make pop music, you can do all sorts of things in the studio to make things sound different. But when you're writing for string quartet, you're writing for what the instruments can do. So you're using the different articulations and writing that into the score. So there's no production to speak of, really.
Dad, you gave the idea of the next song, if we're ready to move on.
Sure.
What's this next song we're talking about?
Broke Boy by Malia Civets.
I don't think a lot of people would know this song. She's not really a well-known artist. You don't hear any of her songs on the radio. And
she's like a brand new artist.
I think she has an EP and four singles.
But this song came on Hits 1. And do you remember how happy it made me?
It made you very happy.
I turned the stereo all the way up and we were just grooving along to it. And then I gave you my phone in the back seat, and I said, "Hey, look her up and play some other songs from her on Spotify." And you did, and we were like,
"Huh?
Yeah, these don't sound anything like this song." So we're not sure what to make of her as an artist yet. But I love this song, and actually, this song is a perfect counterpoint to what
you can continue
to what we were talking about with your Seven Rings story. So why do I like this song?
Because it's very anti-capitalist.
Yes.
And that's basically my question was, I'll just ask my question is, how does this song represent anti-capitalism? And before you answer that, you specifically liked this song. And to go in more depth, we played her song and you said that her other songs sound very synthetic. A pop aesthetic. And it's very...
Yeah, her other stuff is produced to just sound very much like everything else that's on the radio. But this song, "Broke Boy," is like a real old school soul jam. Let's play some of it.
Okay.
I love my broke boy, not a billionaire, but a dope boy. Used to give him cash so we could get some gas, cause he know how to give it out, oh boy. Still lives at home, boy, and got a house up in a Rolls Royce. There's no credit card, it's gonna buy my heart, cause I gave it out to a broke boy. Got a cracked out phone and some student loans that he owes. Got a job he hates cause he's underpaid, oh no. Said he's saving up for that emerald cut. Where we going when we don't need much? Got a $5 bill, put your hands up. Got a $10 bill, put your hands up. I love my broke boy. Not a billionaire, but a dope boy. Used to give him cash so we could get some gas, cause he know how to give it out, oh boy.
All right. So, first, can we just talk about her voice?
Sure.
It's great.
Oh, That's what you're going to say.
She's got a really sort of powerful tone, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's like to compare, like it's very 60s mm-hmm. kind of soul.
It's kind of old school. In fact, when we were just playing that back right now, I think I heard record dust, like the sound of vinyl record crackle in the production.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, when you talk about different voices, like we're talking about two songs, like Positions and Broke Boy are kind of like two very different songs, but they're both very good.
Yeah. So on the anti-capitalist thing, I mean, like, I don't think that this is any big
statement, but
like purposeful political statement. I just love that it's a pop song celebrating, you know, people who are struggling, and you know, she even says later in the lyrics, hold on a sec, let me pull them up. Okay. So this week is sponsored by Milky Way, unofficially. We just had the best conversation, and then I looked over and realized I hadn't started recording it again.
You weren't recording, so
we're going to have to recreate that. Second-rate conversation instead. No, we'll recreate our brilliance.
Our brilliance. You were comparing this to Seven Rings.
Right.
The Ariana Grande song.
So, here's what I want to say.
Talk about the lyrics of Broke Boy first.
Yeah. I don't think this is some complicated, you know,
political statement.
Purposeful political statement on the part of this artist. I don't know that much about her and her politics. I think it's just a fun song for her. But just the fact that it exists in our current world where she is celebrating and lifting up, you know, people who have very little and people who are struggling and offering love towards those people in positive words is so refreshing, like compared to something like Seven Rings. And this, is that real life? Do I act that way when you and I go shopping? I want it. I got it.
Gee, thanks. Just, you like my hair? Gee, thanks. Just bought it.
Yeah. I'm like, no, get the cereal over there because it's on sale, not the one in your hands.
If you pull up the lyrics to Seven Rings and compare it to this song,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know, I'm not making you do that right now, but like in the bridge, it's like, and my receipts be looking like phone numbers. If it ain't money, the wrong number. Black and my billions as you be sending the phone number. I don't mean to brag, but I would like put it in the bag.
Yeah, put it in the bag. Black card. I think black card is like a reference to like a very exclusive credit card that's for like people who have tons of money.
Zoop. Give me the loot. Make it all back in one. Give me the loot.
Malia Savetz is she's talking about, you know, I love my broke boy, not a billionaire, but not a billionaire baller or doughboy. I don't know what doughboy means. Maybe dough, like as in cash.
Yeah. Rolling in the dough.
Yeah. I used to give him cash so he could get some gas. And then, she goes on, got a cracked iPhone, some student loans that he owes, a job that he hates because he's underpaid. I mean, but it's like such a fun song, and she's like saying,
but it's real. It's real life.
That's real life. Yeah. This is... So many more people have lives that are closer to what's described here than what's described in Seven Rings.
I still love this song, Dad. This is literally Lola's favorite song also. Oh, if no one knows who Lola is, very my bestest friend, and she also is an Arianator, so.
So I'm pulling up the lyrics to No Scrubs right now, because we talked about that song, remember?
Mm-hmm.
In our discussion of 90s R&B.
Love language.
And would you say that this song by Malia Savetz is almost like a response to it? Listen to the lyrics in the bridge of No Scrubs. They go, if you don't have a car and you're walking, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. If you live at home with your mama, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. If you have a, you know, want to get me with no money. No, I don't want no scrub. So she say, so in TLC is saying, like, you know, if you don't have a car, you don't have a house, you don't have money, you know,
I don't want no scrub.
Get out of my face. And Malia Savetz is saying, like, yeah, I love these guys. You know, they're cool. You know, got $5, put your hands up. Got $10 bill, put your hands up.
I spent too much money on the crock pot last year, and now I'm up to $10 in my cash.
Absolutely no one is going to know what you're talking about right now.
I'm aware.
And actually, my favorite part is that line, and if you ain't got much, keep your head up. Like, yeah, these are tough times. It's just great for something like this to be on the radio, and especially that it's like a feel-good old school R&B song.
Why did you make me eat that Milky Way, Dad?
All right, so there's my anti-capitalist rant. I don't. What's our next song?
Good in Bed by Dua Lipa. Fun fact, that's actually her real name, Dua Lipa. Wow. Mm-hmm. I thought it was her stage name.
Yeah.
So a lot of people probably don't know Good in Bed because it's not a single from Future Nostalgia, her most recent album. But I love this song. And Dad, can you Google what Dua Lipa Superfan is called? Because I bet maybe they would they would obviously know the song.
Keep talking while I Google.
Okay, so yeah, this song is really interesting. The lyrics aren't so appropriate, but I mean, a lot of songs like that these days are like that. But I love the song. The production's really cool, and it feels... What would you say, Dad?
It's great. You know, the more I listen to her, the more I'm just totally blown away by her production team and how great every one of her songs sounds, how interesting, like...
Yeah, she has such a great voice. When she goes to the top, it, like, cracks in a really nice way.
And her songs are all super danceable.
Yeah, no. In Future Nostalgia, she wanted to create a modern version of, like, 80s dance electro.
Did she say that?
I was reading about it, yeah.
Oh, cool.
She did. Remember when we watched that, or remember when we were listening / watching to Song Exploder?
Yeah, the Song Exploder Netflix.
So what's the super fan group?
Google is not telling me anything.
Oh, okay.
So let's play.
I'm interrupting, but you have to have like a good name to be able to have a super fan. Like, well, Justin Bieber, Belieber, Swiftie, Taylor Swift, Swifties, Ariana Grande,
Dua Leavers? Like Believers? No.
That's already used in Justin Bieber. Dua Lova?
Dua Lovers?
Yeah. Or, no. The Leap of Life? Leap of Lovers?
All right, listeners.
Oh my God, there's a mosquito in here.
Let us know what your Dua Lipa superfan name is. So let's listen to some of the song, and then we can talk about, and then you can ask your question, okay?
All right. Songs, she has amazing bass.
Yes, her bass lines.
Her bass lines are...
Whoever's playing bass for her, I'm sure we find that out.
But, yeah.
So, questions. It's a lightning round.
In, like, the middle of the chorus, the producers left, like, a second of silence, except for this one boing noise.
Yeah,
which
it's like
is
a cork popping,
cool,
right?
Cool, but it's also, I'm very curious, maybe you have a theory about why they did that or why someone might do that in a song. And then my extra question for this one is, what are the different instruments that build in for the intro?
I have no idea how to answer the first one. I didn't understand that boing at all. Just like, it's like a...
Can you play that again? Can you play the boing part again? Just so listeners know, because they might have think, well, we're not, or they might have thought, because the first time I listened to that song, I was like, is our stereo, is the phone being weird or something? Is there like a glitch? So listeners might have thought that, but that's actually in the production. So play that part again. Yeah,
and it happens twice in both choruses at the exact same time. I know it's really bad, 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 but baby, that's what makes us... It's so random.
I know. So do you have an answer or are you just...
No. I have no idea.
You are humiliating yourself in front of the whole world, Dad. You are talking to your daughter. You are asked. You are being asked to answer a question, and you're like, I don't know. Addy K. Like.
It's so weird.
In a cool way.
Yeah.
But
you want to talk about the intro?
Yeah. Okay. So so I don't have an answer for that one. We'll have to research that. But yeah, let's talk about the intro.
So I did a little reverse engineering on the intro, so you could kind of hear what it's made of. So it's basically, to my ear, two instruments happening, the electric bass and like either like a piano that's sort of an out of tune honky tonk piano, or maybe a piano doubled with an electric piano that's out of tune. So let me play you these pieces and then put them together. And then it's all processed to sound like it's a really old recording at the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, so here's just the intro again.
Yeah, let's get to the point. You love to disappoint me, don't you? You tell me what I want.
So it kicks in at that point, and the bass becomes full frequency, which means it now feels really big and powerful, and all the other instruments come in. So now what we're going to hear is just a very simple, quickly played reduction of what I think the piano part sounds like.
Okay.
Very simple progression, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and now we're going to double it with a out-of-tune piano.
Okay. Oh, there's a piano and an out-of-tune piano?
Yeah, it's like a honky-tonk Wurlitzer piano. And it gives it like a little weirder feel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and now we're going to add in that bass.
You recorded this all yourself.
Yeah, I just played that bass line quickly. And that sort of gives the harmonic grounding to those
things. The room vibrates with her bass. It's so good.
So now the last thing I'm going to play those three instruments again, but through a plugin that I use called Isotope Vinyl. And it's set to the 1960s setting, and I've moved up the warp dial a little bit. And this is a plugin that simulates what being on a vinyl record sounds
Wait,
like.
Wait, it's Isotope?
Isotope Vinyl. It's
I
actually
thought it was Isotopey.
No, it's Isotope. It's actually a free plugin. So if anybody is listening to this and is a music producer, you can use this plugin immediately. Just go download it. You just have to give them your email address. Okay, here it is with that plugin on it. Hear how it's much smaller sounding now? Like it's coming through a speaker or something?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little more warbly? So what do you think? Did I recreate it?
Kind of. The original is better, but...
Okay.
Yeah, so... That's a wrap!
We had six songs prepared.
Yeah, we had six songs prepared for this lightning round. And we wanted to go rapid fire lightning, but we talked a lot about positions and Broke Boy and Good in Bed. But those other three songs we're going to do as separate episodes because we also have more songs for the, or sorry, questions for those.
Yeah, so what's our next episode going to be on?
Therefore I Am by Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
No, it's Billie Eilish, Dad. Someone might be a super fan and be like, hey, are you making fun of her?
So my Billie Eilish, every time I hear her and think about her, I think about this time that Jason and I went to ESPN to participate in a panel on...
Do the listeners know who Jason is?
My business partner. I mentioned him earlier.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So we went to ESPN to participate in a panel discussion on music in media and synchronization. And there was this guy on the panel from Interscope Records. And this was before...
Billie Eilish was big in marriage,
and
she had her growth shirt.
Literally the entire panel, he kept talking about Billie Eilish this and Billie Eilish that, and we just signed Billie Eilish, and she's going to be the next big thing. And I was just sitting there going like, who do you think you are, and who is this Billie Eilish? And he was right.
What's her label?
Interscope Records.
Oh.
Yeah. So... So score one for
Billie Eilish,
annoying Interscope guy.
he was like, Billie Eilish is going to be the next big thing. And he was right. He called the shots.
Yep. So, lightning round was a little slower than we thought, but we're going to keep this at a good length. Talk about Billie Eilish next week. And please send in your requests for songs for us to discuss.
Yeah, and also, we haven't talked about this yet, but if you have any questions about a song, because as we always tease the next episode, in the current episode. So if you have any questions that you have for that song, like maybe you have a question for Therefore I Am, like what does this lyric mean or something like that, send us a voice message or leave us a review or go on our Facebook page or message or DM a message on Instagram or something like that, because we can maybe ask your question and be like, so this so-and-so listener had this question, and so...
Yeah, and also, occasionally, if I know you, you might be hearing from me with my questions, researching these questions. So, for example, today, I actually texted my friend Alfredo Grotto, the bass player in my band, because I wanted to know about the lowest note in that Dua Lipa bass line that I was playing, because the bass line actually goes all the way down to a low C, and I can't play that on my bass because it's a 4-string bass. And he texted me back and reassured me that on a 5-string, it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks, Fredo.
Yeah, shout out to Bernie, our dog.
Bernie, you want to say hi to the audience?
Yeah.
Bernie, say hi to the audience.
All right, that's it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.